Let us pray. God, and you promised through Jesus that you would open our minds by your Holy Spirit to understand, to perceive you in your glory, in your love, in your compassion, and your goodness. We acknowledge your presence here among us. Please reveal yourself, both in word and sacrament. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So we bring the resurrection, we bring Easter right up to this Ascension Day, which is Thursday. So Christ is risen from the dead. The angel up on the tombstone said, Jesus Christ is no longer dead. And then this refrain, joy to the world, he is risen, alleluia. Well, to what end? To what end was Jesus raised from the dead on the third day? As we're told by Jesus through the disciples, it was that all things would be fulfilled, that all the prophecies, all the teaching of Jesus would be fulfilled through his life, through his passion and death, through his resurrection. And I'm suggesting to you there's a fourth movement here, his ascension. This is the complete action of God in this work of salvation. Let's not forget the ascension. Most of us, I would suggest, I would guess, if we were asked about the main points of our faith, we would say, well, it's about the life of Jesus, his teaching, his healings, and then it's about his passion and death, that he died to set all humanity free, and that it's about the resurrection. And we'd get it mostly right. I think that would be a good response. Let's not forget the ascension. This full sweep. Whenever it says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, he sat down, it means there is a completed work. So it's at the ascension when that work was completed. Yes, Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And the atonement was won for us there. I believe this great sweep of God's mercy in Christ was fulfilled at the ascension. It's this Thursday. I decided to bring it into our Sunday worship so that we could focus on it. What difference does it make? Really, what difference does it make? I believe it's of importance to us that we remember this merciful act of God, this act of power. Resurrection and ascension go together. Some would say that it's just like an intermission. Intermission between Christ's ascension and, as the angel said, what are you doing? He's going to return in the same way that he went. And so it's like an intermission until Jesus comes again. I don't think the text supports that it's simply an intermission. Perhaps you've not thought about that before. But I think the ascension pushes us to consider God's purposes for Jesus very clearly, and then for us, his church. Jesus gives us some very clear indicators about the importance of his ministry and then our ministry in following him. Jesus said to the disciples, "These are my words." So the word is central. The word is central. That I spoke to you while I was with you. We don't have the benefit of that physical hearing Jesus, and yet by his Holy Spirit, I believe we can hear Jesus speaking through his word. Jesus said, I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the five books, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That was the disciples' Bible at that time. Now we have the Gospels, we have the epistles, we have the book of Acts, we have Revelation. We have the fuller revelation of God through God's word. So let's remember the importance of God's word. It's available to us. We're free to read the Bible. Some countries, they are not free to read the Bible. We can have it online. It can talk to us in the car. We have many opportunities to hear God's word. As the people of God, and we're going to see why we might need that in just a moment, I commend God's word to you. Some of us have tried. I talked to someone just recently. She's starting the book of Genesis. She's struggling her way through all the lists of families. And I said, watch it. Because if Exodus doesn't get you, Leviticus will. It'll knock you right out. It'll take the wind out of your sails if you take that approach to reading the scriptures. The fact she was in the scriptures is good, is excellent. And I think God can speak to us even through lists of names. And yet, there's another way. I would say, start with the Gospel of John. We've been in John for a long time. Clearly, the Gospel of Luke is the gospel writer in today's gospel reading. But start in John, read chapter 3, read it 3 times. I won't give it away, but it's the place where it says you must be born again. And so we must be born again into a new understanding, a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, with the disciples, did he do something physically? Did he breathe on them? I'm not sure. But it says that he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Isn't that beautiful? There was some sort of change. Have you had that moment, the aha moment? In the newspaper when I was growing up, there was a secret panel, it was called. There were 2 pictures that looked identical. But in the little words below, it said, find the following differences. And you could look on page 6 or something and find out what they were. Did you ever have those? Well, there was a picture, there was supposed to be the face of a man in this picture, and I couldn't see it for the life of me. My sister Louise said, it's right there. You mean you can't see the picture of the man in this picture? I said, no, where is it? And she even pointed it, I couldn't see it. She said, well, take the newspaper and turn it sideways, maybe you'll see it then. And it was like, I saw the picture of the man. Have you ever had that experience? I believe that's similar to what the disciples must have experienced. Something became known to them that was opaque before or partially known. Has God ever gotten your heart and grabbed you like that with a revelation from God? God's word is alive and active. These scriptures today speak about power. They speak about power. I have a lame little old electric lawnmower, and I use it just for the backyard. The grass was longer than it should have been, and I have lots of cedar duff in it. I did not have enough power to do an adequate job. I had to stop continually and shake the mower until the blades started going again. Have you ever had that experience? Not enough power. Well, God has remedied that by giving us power. Power to do what? Well, first he's given us his word, he's given us the spiritual understanding, and we're going to get back to that through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and then he focuses on his own life. The word says that I must suffer, Jesus said, I must rise from the dead on the 3rd day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations. So we have our gospel message. Jesus boils it down as a good teacher does. Just 2 points and then a charge. We need to do something with it. This repentance and forgiveness of sins, we need to share that. Should be our joy to share that. We need power to share that to all nations, beginning where you live. In the case of the disciples, that was Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. Simple witnesses. Just share what you've witnessed. Share the love of God that you've experienced. And if you haven't experienced the love of God, may God open your heart today to receive him and to learn what that power is about. I love the image, and I bring it back to you again, that Jesus desires that we are drawn into fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the community that God is, that we are included in that community. And we need power to become children of God, Scripture says. We need power to be his witnesses and to change our thinking. We need our minds renewed so that we understand that we're not the center of the universe, but God is. And he's made that known through Jesus. And the ascension speaks to the centrality of Jesus, because Jesus is the name that is above every name, above every principality, power, rule, dominion, and authority. And we can say, whoa, I love that. We don't have to worship many gods. We've been given one God, the name above all names. And then we can just go about the rest of the week winging it, right? Really doesn't make any difference. We have no reference to Jesus. But he says he's also the head of the church. He's our head. And if we're not in touch with the head, well, then we're paralyzed, aren't we? Isn't that what paralyzation is? There's a disruption between the head and the body. It's a serious matter. So how can we reconnect with the head and experience this power and joy, this blessing? Jesus ascended with blessing. If there's nothing else today that you could see Jesus ascending over your life, your family, your household with blessing, and believe it, that God intends blessing. What a beautiful image. What a beautiful image. God coming so near to us that even as he was being taken from us, ascending into heaven, he went with blessing. The ascension. He gave instructions to the Holy Spirit, and he said, wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're 40 days into Easter. There's about 10 more until Pentecost. Because you will be clothed with power from on high for this mission that I am entrusting to you by my Holy Spirit. John came and baptized you with water. It was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And if you haven't had that baptism, speak to me. Why not be baptized? And then be filled with power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Power to for what? Well, let's first just key off this theme that Jesus opened their mind to understand the scriptures. I believe that as we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and then the answer to the prayer that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus becomes active in our life. Paul prays that God would give those followers of Jesus a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would grow up to be wise, that that would be a hope for our children, for our sons and daughters and our grandchildren, that they would grow up to be wise people in this day and age where there is so much emptiness, so many forfeit promises, that you would be wise, that you would have your heart enlightened as you come to know him. Again, the same image. Their minds were open to the scriptures. Their hearts were enlightened. For what? That you would know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. Most of us could find something to do with the riches part, couldn't we? Might get new rims for our car. I mean, you know, if someone said, could you use another 20K? We'd go, yeah. Renew the kitchen, renovate whatever. We could think of stuff right off the bat, couldn't we? Well, what about wisdom? Would we go, I don't know. Do I really need that? Authority over evil? Does that really, I could really use the 20,000 or these riches that are spoken of, but I don't know about the other stuff. Hope? I could use hope. I could use hope. So Paul is praying that as we come to know Jesus, our hearts could be open to this hope, to the riches of the inheritance we have in Christ, and to the working of his great power. And you might think, this sounds great, but... So I encourage you, if you have children, to pray over them, to pray this prayer, that they would know the power of God, that they would have the hope through Jesus and that they would grow up to be wise. Go into the room at night. Put your hands over them. You have authority as parents over your children. If your parents are grown up and gone, pray with authority for your kids and your grandkids. Pray this prayer out of Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. What a beautiful inheritance. We're told that God has put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Do you see this movement of God, this raising from the dead and then raising him to the right hand of God the Father? And then this focus on the supremacy of Christ, name above all names. And so when we worship, we can just focus on the one God and God's love above all rule and power, authority and dominion, above every name that is named, which means it's above our name. It's above our authority. It's above our dominion. And so we're called to submit to Jesus, which for some of us might be a struggle, especially when there's a conflict in wills. But why not? The last thing I want to do is have a kite tied around my waist and say, there you go, Paul, fly the kite. It's nothing. But God's mission is being worked out through his church, who is Christ's body, with him as the head over all things for the church. Listen to how the body of Christ, the church, is described. It's the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. I think that's pretty exciting. So may God fulfill this sort of four-part harmony: life, passion and death, resurrection and ascension. May we experience God's blessing, experience the transforming love and the power of God in and through Jesus.